Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And tonight we're going to be talking about appreciating family and friends, so please feel free to participate or just to listen. We do have one caller in the studio. His name is Al, and we'll be getting to him in a while. And Kat is present and accounted for. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. And thanks to everybody who's joined us this evening or this morning, depending on where you are in the world.
Right. Well, it's morning where Kat is and evening where I am. And we're both ready and raring to go. So, Kat, where would you like to begin in talking about appreciation of family and friends?
Well, it's an interesting topic because the old adage, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family, that's sort of there. And there's an expectation that you should automatically love your family, but that's not always the case for a lot of people. And family can be a place of comfort and refuge, but for some people, it can be a place of torment and they want to escape. So it's, I think that it means different things to different people. And some people choose to have friends who are family, who become closer to them than they would have their blood relatives. And other people's blood relatives are wonderfully close and brilliant for them in their lives. But one thing is for sure, especially as you get older, to have family and friends around you is extremely important. It's very important to build those connections and those bonds when you're a younger person. But it's also important to make an effort and reach out to others as you get older, as much as you hope that people will reach out to you, because if you don't reciprocate, people will fall away. So, family and friends are obviously, that's what society is made up of, and the central aspect of society is family. And according to Dr. Phil, the central person of a family is a matriarchal figure. So, we really need to turn around and look at who we are in accordance to where our family is. And I'm saying that all incorrectly. When we find out, we often look for who we are by finding out who our family are. And there's power in the bloodline, absolutely. But we also have to look at who we are as a person, independently of our family. I don't know if I made sense at all then.
You certainly did.
Oh,
you'll say that time and time again, and you always make sense to me. I don't know if I make sense, so maybe we're on the same page. Who knows? At any rate, I loved what you had to say. Because it's true, we can choose our friends and not our family. But I'd just like to pick up on one thing that you said about reaching out. And I think it's so important to nurture our relationships. Friends and family are like flowers in the garden, and they need water. Flowers do. And family and friends need our continued support and our love and our nurturance. It is an ongoing, ever-evolving relationship. I was blessed to be born into a family that was loving, largely loving. They didn't know how to do it the quote-unquote right way a lot of the time, because there was not a lot of unconditional love. But it's interesting because over the years that has developed, and I'm very grateful for that. And, you know, I have to say I give myself some credit for that, because I've had to do a lot of work on myself. And I think as I've done that and have reached out to family and started to practice some of the principles that I've learned, they in turn responded in like. And it's been a symbiotic relationship where we all have evolved. Kat was talking about matriarchs, and of course it all begins for us with mother. She gives birth to us and is probably the most important primary person in our early lives if we're blessed to have a mother that shows us affection. I think in terms of the matriarch in my family being my father's mother. She had an extended family amongst us, having had five children, four of whom survived to adulthood. And she really drew us all in. And that was good, and it was not good. She was very loving, but she also was a little bit controlling. And I think that's because in families there can sometimes be secrets. And I think there was a secret in my family involving my grandfather where she felt a need to keep a handle on things. But the positive thing that I want to get to, because I prefer to focus on that, is that she nurtured us. She provided a safe haven for us. And all of her grandchildren, we cousins, were more like siblings than we were like cousins to each other. And she was the mother head over us all. And my own mother was a very loving person, and I have a lot of wonderful memories of her. And she has passed on. And I would like to say on that subject, and, you know, I have so much more to say, but I don't want to hog the microphone for any substantial period of time. I think it's important for us to nurture those relationships that we still have in life. But likewise, I think it's important for us to nurture the relationships that we have with those that have passed on, because relationships are eternal, just like our lives are. And those people who have been significant in our life, who've passed out of this life, still are connected to us and want to be connected to us. They want us to experience a connection with them. And I've been blessed to have an experience where I do feel that connection. All I have to do is think of a person who's passed, and I start to get a tingly feeling, and I'm getting it right now. It forms at the top of my head. It reminds me of Tinkerbell. Just warm, fuzzy feeling. And so I just wanted to mention that. I don't think a lot of people think about that. You know, they may think about their loved ones, but they may not realize how important the connection can still be to themselves and to those who've passed on. What do you think, Kat?
Well, yeah. Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Sorry, I had someone at the door, and I had I'm the only one home, and I apologize. I had to show ID and everything to get a parcel.
Oh.
I caught the end of what you were saying, and what you were talking about family who've passed on and the feeling that you get from them, and that feeling of connection with them even though they've gone. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So I've definitely had that feeling. And I think even for somebody who thinks that it's all black, you know, like an atheist. My partner's an atheist, so that's why I often refer to atheists, because I find them fascinating. And I certainly am not negative against them at all, because I think everybody has their processing and their way of thinking about things. But I find it fascinating that the idea that you're only chemicals and that when you die, it's all black and there's nothing else. Because it doesn't fall in alignment with my experiences. So when I think about what he's expecting when he passes away versus what I'm expecting when I pass away, I wonder if I'm going to have a richer experience, because I'm expecting to continue to, my mind continue to go on. And is he going to have a more difficult experience because his mind does go on, but he wasn't expecting that? And then that brings me to the thought of what you said with family passing on, and then when you have experiences with them, if you're not open to that, you would miss out on it, or it would scare the hell out of you if it started to happen, and it could be... altering for you. So, but for my own experience, recently when I lost my cat, who I consider family, I had smells of him. He came to me multiple times in scent, and even after he was cremated, I smelled him. And I even had an incident with my other cat when I fed him, and then he ran away, and he had the same look on his face and the same body language that he would if he was pushed away from his food by Prometheus. So you can see he's still around. And that's the thing, when we pass on and we're missing family, they're just in a different dimension. It's like you and I, David, you're in a different hemisphere, and I can logically think that you're there, but we've never physically met. And so really you're a mind in a different dimension to me, yet we communicate. And I can see photographs of you, and if we communicate over messenger video chat, I can see you. But if I were to pass away before you, you would still be able to see a photograph of me and tune into my energy, my energy signature, and communicate with me if you were to develop that part of you. So I think it's really fascinating. Probably gone into the subject a bit too much. I'm a bit off today, people. I apologize.
No problem.
But family will come when needed. And I was doing a reading for a lady the other day, and I was sitting there with her, and then she said, oh, my God, I can see my paternal grandmother, and she wasn't particularly nice to me, and why would she be with me? And so we explored it, and we understood that parts of her personality were quite powerful, and really she was trying to impart the knowledge of having that internal power onto her granddaughter to assist her in a process that she was going through in her life. So even the ancestors who were not particularly nice can come to assist us, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. And, I would like to take an opportunity to tell a story about my maternal grandmother, who I was particularly close to. Her name was Marion, and she grew up down near in a small city down near New York, New York City, and went to Vassar College. And she grew up in a privileged environment, unlike her husband, my grandfather Chester. But I would like to talk about both of them. I'm going to just focus on Marion. She was the first and central figure in my life, aside from my mother, and she was a woman that knew how to practice unconditional love. And it was a real tragedy for me when I lost her, because she was the first of my grandparents to go, and I was only 9, and I was absolutely devastated. But I just have such warm, fuzzy memories about her. And she would play with me. She would nurture me. I think she knew I was a gay child. She encouraged me to play with dolls and with my mother's childhood dollhouse. And she would take me for walks, and we would go to the movies, and we would do all kinds of fun things. And I can remember when my sister and I would come to the house, we'd always run to this little cabinet that had a secret opening, and we would open it, and there'd be candies in there for us, and she'd say that the fairies had brought them to us. So she knew about fairies. I remember her reading me Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy, and she believed in magic, and she treated me as if I was a magical being. Lots of love showered on me, and my sister as well, who's also passed on. So anyhow, that's my grandmother, Marianne. She was a real gem. The only thing that I miss about her, in addition to missing her physical essence, is that I can't remember what her voice is like. I can't remember the sound of it. And she's the only person that's passed out of my life that's like that. And the only thing I can imagine is that there was such a trauma connected to me losing her at a tender age that went. I don't know. But, you know, I'd also like to talk just a little bit about friends before I return the microphone to Kat, and also to let the listeners know. We have a second caller that's joined us. I don't know their name, but they're from area code 856, and we will connect with them in a while, along with Al. Friends are so important, and I love what you said, Kat, about friends, how they can be family to us. And as you also mentioned, sometimes we have families that are toxic and not loving. And so we create our own families. And I think that's particularly significant for a lot of gay people, because a lot of gay people have been estranged from their families, rejected by their families, and so they've had to be creative and create their own families. That was not the case for me, although the friends that I am close to are family to me. There's no question about it. And I cherish each and every one of them. I have two best friends, one female and one male. And the male just happens to be Al, who's in the studio. And I enjoy spending time with him. I spent the afternoon with him out on the deck. We're able to spend time together during the COVID-19 crisis, now that we can be out of doors and go for walks and just sit on his porch or my deck and enjoy some coffee, where we can easily socially distance without having to wear masks. And, you know, I've known him for 40 years now, and that's mind-blowing, because it seems in some ways like it was just yesterday that I met him. And our relationship is special because it evolved out of a more intimate relationship, which ended 16 years ago. But I feel even closer to him today. Even though he's not my primary relationship, he's very primary in a lot of other ways. And I really, really appreciate that. I just got a message from Kat, and I'm wondering if that's that she was disconnected. Yes. Kat says that Al is my best friend, and she's right, absolutely right, no question about it. So anyhow, Kat, would you like to talk about friends?
Yeah, well, I can say for me, friends has been a process. I think for me, and I can't talk for anybody else, as I've learned and grown in myself, I've learned and grown through friendships. And they've been the best teacher for me. Relationships in general are the best teacher for anybody. But when I look back on my friendships, I've really always loved my friends, but I've not always been loved by my friends. And so I've found that friendships have caused me to grow and have challenged me deeply. I suppose I'm most likely somebody who's a bit autistic. I certainly had to work on my social skills, and I went through a lot of personal development books around 2009, 2010, trying to work out how to understand being a human in this human world. And I'm also quite a solo person. I'm independent, and so to have friendships and to let people in, it means that if I have let you in, then yeah, you've reached a level of trust with me. And maybe that's naive if you're the person I shouldn't trust, but that's something I've learned. This year, I was recently quite hurt by somebody who I really counted as a friend, someone that I'd helped, who I'd had an on-again, off-again friendship with, and that person just wanted me to come and see them and then just didn't answer the phone. And I didn't understand why, and I decided that was her issue, not mine, because I hadn't actually done anything to hurt her. I, in fact, only done things to help her. So I think that people have their own journeys as well. So I find that my friends tend to be individuals in the far-flung corners of the world. Before the internet came along, it tended to be people in the far-flung corners of the state of Queensland that I live in, here in Australia. And I also enjoy people who I can be friends with and not be in each other's pockets, where I can see them today and tomorrow, maybe a couple of times over the next 2 or 3 months, and then maybe we might not see each other for 6 months or even a year, but when we catch up, it's like we saw each other yesterday. I enjoy that because it means that we can have the breathing space to live our lives, that come together and enjoy each other. And if there's an issue, we can lean on each other and get each other through. But it doesn't mean that we then are bound to be together and I owe you and you owe me. It's just a natural flow between each other. That's the best kind of friendship for someone like me, because I really am a bit of a solitary person. And, I think all, you know, different people have different experiences. I had a friend who went overseas for a little while to work and was worried that she would be alone. And I said, you won't be alone. That's not your personality type. And next thing I know, she was off at parties and she was having a great time. So, you know, if I had done that, it would have taken me a year to 18 months. to be invited to a party because I'm so quiet and I need to get to know people before I'll let myself go anywhere around people. And, yeah, for a long time in my life, I really preferred animals to people, which is why I made an effort to learn how to understand myself in regards to the whole social structure of society and understand how to be in that society. So, yeah, I think it's different for different people. And I think that your relationship with Al is quite special. And, you know, when I hear of people who've had friendships since primary school or friendships since early adulthood and it's kept going the entire time of their lives and they've, you know, you guys have had a very mature evolution in your friendship, I think that it's such a blessing and it's very heartwarming to hear and to know that you have that. It's very special.
Thank you, Kat. It is special. One thing that I wanted to say, and then I think we'll go to the phone lines. I wanted to say how relationships, whether they're with family or friends, I mean, that's what ultimately we're talking about, our relationships with other people. And they can be like mirrors because we don't always see ourselves clearly. There's something called the Ohari window, whereby certain aspects of ourselves are seen by ourselves and others, and other aspects by other people. And friends can be sounding boards. They can help us get to know our own selves better. They can be honest with us in a gentle way and confront us in a gentle way. The relationships that we have with other people are fluid, and it's a give and take sort of proposition because we're all in it together, and it has to be unconditional if it's going to be a nurturing and loving relationship. And those are the kinds of relationships that I choose at this point in my life. It's amazing when I think back upon some of the so-called friends I've had that have been conditional. They've been good weather friends, and those were not true friends. And it's taken a long time and a lot of discernment to recognize who's healthy to have in my life and who's not. And as painful as it is, I've had to let some people go. And some people have let me go for no apparent reason, and that's been painful, and Kat talked about that with one of her friends. So relationships can be a mystery, there's no question about it, but they are worth nurturing. When you find a winner, stick with them. And so let me go to Al and see what he would like to share.
Oh, hello, Kat and David.
Hi there.
Are you there? Hi.
Yes. What would you like to say, Al?
Well, you've both said so many nice things. It's been really a wonderful conversation. And I really appreciated what you had to say about our friendship, David. Reflecting on that friendship, I think there was a very strong connection right from the beginning that was a little undefinable. You and I are different people, and we're also similar, but we have differences too. And but there seems to be something there that strongly links us right from the very beginning. I think one of the things I'm grateful for in our friendship is we've developed a level of trust where we can be honest. I can ask for your opinion, and I know you're going to tell me the truth. And other friends that it's not as deep a friendship with, they're afraid to do that for you because they're afraid that you don't want to hear it, or it's going to affect your friendship with them. So I guess one of the things I wanted to say is that you need to have had that time to develop that trust with somebody else that they're willing to say those things to you and you're willing to hear it. What you said about friends in the past too, I don't know. I kind of feel sometimes things are meant to move on, you know, and that we can appreciate the time we did have with those friends, but we, you know, we change as people and, I mean, some friendships ended for me because they weren't good for me, as you mentioned, too. But there were others, you know, it's not that anything bad happened. I think, you know, we just changed. But there's also friends that when I was younger, and I think you mentioned this, Kat, about paying better attention to relationships as we get older, that I think I neglected and didn't appreciate and give them the gratitude that they deserved at the time I had them. And, you know, I'm so much more likely to do that now, later in life, when I realize just how important relationships are. I guess I also want to say that when we come into friendships, I feel like we have expectations of what a friend should, that friend should be to us. And, you know, I have to admit, I find that a little confusing sometimes because we should have some expectations, you know, because part of that is, you know, we kind of get to decide for ourselves what's important to us in a friend and what it is that we need from a friend and what is it they need from us. And so on the one hand, it's fair to have expectations. And yet on the other hand, you and friends are not the same people and you've had different experiences in life. I've had different experiences in life than some of my friends. And so with some friends, I've had some disappointments because they haven't quite lived up to what I expected for a friendship. And yet they have in other ways. And I have to admit, I'm still rather confused about that at times. I know what's important to me for friendships. And I'm not talking about you, David, but there's people in my life that haven't been able to step up in a friendship in the way that I've decided for myself is important to me as a feeling, emotional human being that wants connections with another. I think some of the expectations I have are that people will want to connect emotionally a little more. And yet that's sometimes unfair of me because I think it's a struggle for some people to do that even when they want to do it. So I guess I'm just saying that I'm still a little confused in terms of my expectations of friends. And can I say one more thing or two about that Kat mentioned earlier?
Yes, and also if you'd like to share a memory, you're welcome to do that as well.
I would, yeah. Kat had talked about knowing ourselves through our family, and also friends were also important because we get to know ourselves independent of our family and get to know that other aspect of ourselves. And I think that's so true. And I was just thinking when you said that, Kat, that it's such a double-edged sword with family because I felt like I grew up, we all grow up with these family dynamics and we get assigned roles and our family tries to keep us in those roles because it's what keeps what the family's familiar with and what they feel comfortable with and what sometimes we feel comfortable with. But, you know, so there's a sense of belonging and security with that, but there's also a sense sometimes with family that you don't have a space to be other than that. That they've decided a long time ago who you are. And that's where I think friends are really important. You know, they didn't grow up with us necessarily. They may have. And they're not part of a family dynamic. So they, you know, you're knowing them outside of that family dynamic. And I sometimes feel like my friends really know me better. You know, it's family's a little confining sometimes. So the memory I want to share is probably of my grandmother too. I'm very grateful to have had her as a grandmother because I had both my grandfathers died before I was born, and my paternal grandmother really had very little to do with me or my siblings. So the only grandparent that I had that was really there was my maternal grandmother, and she was a real character. I loved her. She was really good with kids. She was not so great with adults, but she was really good with kids. You know, she knew she was musical, played the piano, played the ukulele, was fun, sang. loved to play games and cards. She just related well to children. And I can remember sitting with her as a child and her holding my hand. You know, we're just sitting there on the couch. It felt wonderful. She was a great grandma. And I still think of her a lot. And I miss her. She also was not your typical grandmother because, you know, she liked to gamble. She had a boyfriend who ran a speakeasy. And she did a little rum running in her younger days. So she was also not your typical grandma. So that's a memory I wanted to share. Thank you both.
Thank you, Al. Let's go to the other phone line and see who our caller is. Hi, area code 856. What's your first name?
Rose Maria.
Hi, Rose Maria. How are you tonight?
How are you?
Good. Is there anything you'd like to share about appreciating family and friends or any stories you'd like to tell?
Appreciate them right now. The friends are getting on my nerves, like no response and stuff like that. Not only for the virus that we have, everything else, they did it before, so it's like trying to make good friends, if that makes sense. The
yes.
Right ones. So the ones I have now, I'm like, I gave up. I reached out and they don't answer, so whatever.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, Rose Maria?
That's it, pretty much.
Well, thank you for joining us. We
thank
appreciate
you.
Your support, and please feel free to continue to listen.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Well, Kat, is there any reflecting you'd like to do on what's been said?
No, but I'd like to have Al's grandma.
I just missed meeting her by, I met Al 6 months before she passed away and unfortunately never had the chance to meet her, but I feel like I know her through the stories that Al has told and his mother, her daughter would share memories about her mother. Al's mother was a special lady. She was a great historian, and she loved her family, and she would share tales that made me feel like I knew her mother and knew some of her other relations that I'd never met in this life. So I really appreciated Al's mother as well. You know, we've been sharing our reflections and stories and some ideas about what friendship and family means. I'm wondering if... I'm coming back to you again, Kat. Do you have anything else you'd like to say on the topic?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been thinking about it and my external extended family... They're important to me in a way that my nuclear family growing up and my current family that I've created are, beautiful to me in a separate way. So as a child, in my early childhood in Scotland, I had my paternal family over there. And then we came to Australia, and there are two branches of my paternal family, extended family there, the Scottish branch and the American branch, the USA branch. And the USA branch are in Missouri. And even though I love them, they are in the Northern Hemisphere and a long, long way away. And the communication was by letter and telephone when I was a kid. And now it's email and Facebook. There's a sense of stability. There's a sense of groundedness, of being rooted into the planet. A sense of safety. It's a deeper... Oh, it's making me want to cry. oh, I'm going into my heart a bit. It's a deeper sense that you belong because you have those people. And when the older ones started to pass on, I think I grieved that as much as I grieved them. And because I hadn't grown up with them, they were strangers that I loved. I didn't know them. I didn't know what their favorite food was. I didn't know what kinds of things they liked to do apart from what they told me they did. I didn't know them in their daily lives. So they really, you know, my USA family, apart from my aunt, are all with me still. But my Scottish family, by and large, have passed on. They've grown old and passed on. And so it's been quite a process for me to come to a point of understanding that even though they've gone, there's still that root, there's still that sense of stability by having them there. It's like my tree reaches out and their energy is still in those lands, and that's part of me and their part. Is that making any sense?
Yes.
I'm part of them and they're part of me. So it's a deep love, and it's an extended love. And I think that often when we're looking in the sort of superficial culture, when we look at family, we're only talking about the people who we grew up with or who live under the roof. But there's more. You know, there's these people who are aunts and uncles and cousins. There are these people who are grandparents, brothers and sisters. And they're just as important. They're deeply important. And you may not know them, but they give that sense of foundation to your earth walk, to your sacred walk on the planet. And they have to be counted. And there's parts of you that are like them. And you might look at, I certainly look at myself and I go, well, I know with the nuclear family that I grew up with, although I love them all, I'm very different to all of them. And I also know that I feel like their view of me is of when I was sort of age 8 to 13. I think that a lot of people feel that way about that then nuclear family that they grew up with, that they never really saw that you grew up and that you became an adult. And so the process of their thinking towards you still has that color. And that's not to be angry or upset with them, because they, you know, for me, I was the youngest, so there's always going to be that. So there's a different sense of understanding as well with family. As Al said, you get a certain amount of energy from them and learning, but then you must fly, and that's when you're going to help. That's when coming into friendships is going to help you to explore who you are, because you're going to have more interesting experiences with friends than you would with family, because, you know, I'm a mother and I can tell you that it's very, very hard to let them go out into the world and be their own person when you want to cotton wool them and protect them and leaving them go and say, well, you're a child of the universe. You came from my body and I raised you, but you're actually, I don't own you, you're not mine. You're owned by the universe. You are a child of the universe. That's hard, and that's a growth thing. So there's a lot of maturation that you have to take in stepping back from that original nuclear family and loving them sometimes from afar, because often two people don't get along. And you can get a clear picture of somebody, or so you think, but that is not actually the picture that they actually have of themselves in their life, and there's a mismatch. And then people's life choices. You know, I know of some people who don't get along because one person has made a life choice that another person doesn't agree with. So family really focus on learning from each other a lot, whether they realize it or not. That's what we do. That's what family does. It forces you to grow. It kind of puts you in a tube and squeezes you out, and you have to grow. And then there's the nurturing aspect of getting the growth up. I don't know if I made any sense again. I've gone on a big brain fart tangent. But I've got here that the true meaning of family is people that are related by blood or ancestry. And, you know, that can be anyone, as long as there's love and compassion and support. And there's, you know, we have rings, whether we realize it or not, we have rings of personal space and intimacy, and if you've stepped into the closest ring, you've stepped into the closest part of intimacy that you can have, which is usually a significant other. But then the next ring out is family, and you will have obviously a deeper intimacy with a young child because you have to, it's the nature of the relationship, than you would with an older child because they then grow and gain more independence. And, you know, for me, that's hard to... I'm going through my two youngest. I'm moving out of the infancy with them and into the middle childhood with them, where I have to let them have that independence. And so it's breaking my heart, but it's pleasing theirs. And then so you have friendships that you can allow into that second or third ring of intimacy. And then with friendships, you know, we're looking at needing to be honest with each other. Honesty is a highly important trait in friendship, and accepting as well, accepting of the divergent ways that we look at the world. And also, you know, friendships need to be low maintenance. If you've got a high maintenance friendship, it's tiring, it's taxing, it becomes something that it's a chore to be around that person. And so you tend to want to withdraw. And good friendships need to be non-judgmental, because we all stuff up, and loyal and respectful and trustworthy. And that makes a good friend, and that's a difficult formula to find in somebody. But if you can find that in them, then you can bring them into that third ring of intimacy where family lies, because that is a non-blood brother or sister. And that can actually be a deeper, longer-lasting experience than you would have with your own blood relatives. So, yeah, it's quite a profound thing when you start to really break down what family does, how it is, how the extended family that you may or may not know actually reach you into the planet and into human society, how you have aspects of them that you don't realize you have. Do you have the show Who Do You Think You Are there in America?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Oh, maybe you can find it on the web. It's great. I thought Lisa Kudrow was on it. I thought it really came out of the US.
Oh.
Ancestry.com sponsor it. Anyway, Who Do You Think You Are Australia and Who Do You Think You Are UK is broadcast here. And it's about people, famous people, because they're obviously the people of interest for the producers, who go back in their family tree and find somebody that they never really understood about, and then they dive into the records about them, and they have a little journey finding out who these people were, and then that helps them to settle about who they are. And some of these people were like the only one who was artistic. You know, the celebrity who's going back, they're the only person in their family line that they know of who is artistic. And then they go and explore it, and they discover that they've got a great uncle who was a theatrical director. You know, like it's so it all begins to tie in. Ah, okay, now I understand. Now I feel more grounded in who I am because I've got this extended family member who also had that trait. So, you know, you really need, I'd encourage everybody to reach out to that extended family as well and either discover them or just share your love with them and your friendship with them.
There's one other idea that I had based on something you were just talking about, Kat, and that was our ancestral family. And I know Al has done a tremendous amount of research on his ancestors, and I'd be interested in what he has to say about connection to those that we don't even know who have shaped us and, in a sense, given birth to us. And so, Al, I'm going to come back to you. If you would briefly like to share something along those lines, that would be appreciated. And then we're going to go into meditation. So hang on, Al. Let me come to you. Okay, Al. Al, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry, I muted my phone.
Oh, okay.
I did discover things about my family I hadn't known that made me feel connected. Distant family. I had known that I was Irish, English, and Dutch, and I hadn't known that I was part German also. And I discovered that part of my family had been overrun by Napoleon's forces and by the Bavarians. They were called the Palatine Germans, and they had no food, and they escaped by ship over to England, hearing that the Queen Anne was going to help them, and she ended up sending them to the Hudson Valley here in New York and also down into North Carolina. But my relatives, you know, and I've connected with many of their descendants, were at that time, the Mohawk Valley was still kind of wild. It was, you know, it was the Hudson Valley was developed. The Dutch had developed it, but it was a hard life, and the farming wasn't really great there. And they had been through so much with fleeing Germany, living in camps in England, getting over here. And I found, you know, a few times when I've discussed that, I've gotten very emotional, and it just surprised me that I had that depth of emotion about people I had never met and just thinking about what they had gone through. And I, you know, I also, my English relatives, the ones that had come from Anglia, I had an English DNA relative that I connected with there that told me that during the time that some of the people there had left Anglia. That was a farming community in that eastern. That's what's Norfolk and Suffolk now in England. They had their prices and agricultural industry had been undercut by American markets here, and they struggled. And a lot of people lost their agricultural jobs and had to go into other types of jobs. And I discovered that with one of my relatives. You know, he'd been a laborer in agriculture and things like that. And then, you know, all of a sudden he was a servant in somebody's household. Complete change right around that time. So I think it's the struggles and hardships that I know some of them went through that really touched me, knowing that they wanted to survive. They wanted their family to survive, and they're part of the reason. Their survival is part of the reason I'm here. Because it took every one of those people in our past for us to get where we are. So, you know, it is a real connection. I guess
well,
that's all
you,
I wanted
Al.
To say. Thank you.
Okay, we appreciate your input. All right. Well, there could be so much more to be said, and I'm grateful that you joined us tonight, Al, and Rose Maria, and Kat, as always. let's take a moment to pause and reflect upon what we've been discussing today. And so I ask you to consider closing your eyes if you're comfortable with that. And if not, find a spot that you can focus on, something that won't distract you, that will allow you to go within. And so I encourage you, or invite you now, to take a few deep cleansing breaths, counting in to the count of five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold, release to the count of five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And repeat 2 more times. And now just breathe normally and relax into the chair that you're sitting in. If you're not doing so, plant your feet on the floor, on the ground. Ground yourself. And I invite you to enter into relationship and to consider a family member that was benevolent to you, that was loving to you, and draw them into your consciousness, whoever it was that you are thinking of that comes to mind, and draw in the memories. Draw in the love. Draw in the relationship. And just relish in it for a moment or two. And if you thought of somebody who'd passed on or somebody who is alive, I encourage you now to consider the opposite. In other words, if you focused on a person that had been alive before, go to somebody who's passed on or vice versa. And again, draw in the love. Remember what their eyes looked like. Remember their physical countenance, but most of all, remember the love. Remember a memory. And I invite you to do so now and just to let it soak into your being. And so draw each of those into your heart and cherish the memories and know that they are always a part of you, whether you're living, whether they're living, always a part of you, a part of what has shaped you to be the person you are today. And now turning to your friends. First, think of a friend who's still living and allow that friend into your heart and into your mind and bring in the memories bring in the love. Bring in the looks. And bring in whatever you cherish about that friend. And sit with that for just a moment or two. And finally, remember a friend who's passed out of your life, who you felt a strong connection with, who has helped shape the person that you are, and who has shared love, wonderful memories, looks, words, feelings, thoughts. And draw in those memories. And I invite you to simply allow that person to penetrate your being. So draw that person into your heart and know that they're there for all eternity. And one more thing. Don't make this an overwhelming exercise, but just consider all of the people who've been part of your life, all of the people with whom you've formed memories, that have helped shape the person that you are today, for better or for worse, hopefully for better, and whether or not those people seem to be positive influences on you, they all have influenced you, no matter what. They've all helped you learn and discover who you are. And so just take a moment to reflect upon the multitude of souls that have affected you. And if you want to remember some names, I'll give you a moment to do that. And so begin. And whether or not you've completed the exercise, you can do that at any point in your day, if it pleases you. And for now, just send forth the appreciation that you have in your heart for all of those who've been a part of your life, that have brought richness to you, love, support, nurturance, transparency, congruence, all those positive things that you can focus on, and let the rest that is not positive go. And so, when you're ready, open your eyes and know that all is well and all is as it should be, as it always has been. And so I thank you for joining us tonight. And Kat, have a beautiful day for yourself.
Thank you, I will. And thanks to everyone who tuned in. Thank you, Al, and thank you, Rose Maria.
All right. Well, please join us again next week at the same time. And let me ask you, Kat, when are we going to return to the on-the-hour time?
In about 3 weeks.
Okay. So we will be present at 8:30 Eastern U.S. time next Sunday night and 10:30 Monday morning and Kat's time. All right. Good night and God bless.
Good night, everybody.